CliffCentral.com.
Yes, indeed, that 80s show is back today. The usual nostalgic nonsense. Plus, there are songs by Rod Stewart, who actually turned 78 this week. Shame, I saw Rod Stewart lost his brother. I didn't even know, but I think he had two brothers, and his one brother died last year, and the other one died just a few days ago. And Rod is like, he's this eternal kind of, you know, live forever rocker. I mean, he's still got the crazy hair and, you know, still, I think he's married now and he's settled down quite a lot. But I mean, he used to have only the hottest woman in the world on his arm. And he turned 78 this week and still going strong. So good for Rod Stewart. And Jennifer Rush, who's our favorite crazy person. And Ben, you're on mute. And Jennifer Rush, obviously someone who we've told lots of stories about. She was a fan at one point. I don't know if she still listens to us now. She and I had a disagreement about, I don't know, politics or something, and she like stormed out and had a tantrum, and now she's no longer a listener. But for a while there, we could claim Jennifer Rush was one of our listeners.
I think she had a massive crush on you.
I'll own it. I'll take that. I mean, listen, she was not the Jennifer Rush of my childhood, but you know, I'm also not in the shape that I was in my childhood. Yeah. Oh my God. All right. So this is an interesting thing that came out of our discussion at the end there about like having friends who are the kind of people and getting attention from the kind of people you actually respect and admire, as opposed to just having a bunch of losers. Because there's always that old saying, which has become a bit cliched, but you know, you are the sum of the five people you spend the most time around. And I don't know. I don't know that that's entirely true, because you sometimes are forced to spend time around people that aren't really, you know, the people you would choose to spend time around. It can happen that you are, you know, you're in a job where you actually have to spend a lot of time with people in the call center, for example. Those are not the people you choose to spend your time with. But they're nonetheless the people.
Of course it is, because that's your profession. You've chosen. You've chose to be that job. You're not a slave to the call center.
But Ben, when you start working, you don't really have that many choices. And for people who are doing their first job ever, it's not that easy. So, you know, in the beginning, you might hear someone say, oh, you're the sum of the five people you spend the most time around. And you look around you in the call center and you're like, oh, Jesus Christ, I'm in big trouble.
No, but it's where you are in your life, though, because when you look around and go, fuck, I'm in big trouble, you'll try hard to get out of this. So you are the current sum of those five people.
Yeah. But I mean, maybe you also, you know, maybe you are still living at home and you don't really get along with your parents or any of that stuff and you're trying to get out, but you at that stage are, they're two of the people, maybe one of the people in your five that you don't really want to be with. But from a point of view of choice of friends, I do think that that's true. I think it's, you know, Gareth, you sound like a really nice friend. Wah. But Carl is obviously joking there. This idea of like losers, I think this is something worth expanding on. It's something very, very interesting that I think we want to talk about a little bit more. Sanele says, actually, Carl, he is, I prefer friends like Gareth. I disown all yes man type friends. I can't stand them. How do you pick out the losers? Do you two have any advice for like how you could find the losers? Which ones? Because some of them are not so easy to spot.
Please, can we start with Sampira? Because I know she has a, I know she has criteria. After hearing that dance comment, she's showing a list.
Ben, why are you exposing me like that? But I kind of do. I kind of do when it comes to picking friends. I'm very picky on who I call a friend. We can all have a good time. We can all hang, but that doesn't mean that you're my friend. I think one of the things I look out for is if I come to you and I'm like, you know, petrol is really expensive and I'm not sure what to do. And your first thing is just like, yeah, girl, yeah, Vele, it's expensive. But there's nothing meaty about the conversation. I already know you're not for me. Because most of my friends would be like, yeah, petrol is expensive, but what are we doing about it? Like, how are we going to get, you know, more money? Or are you driving less? How fast are you driving? And those are some of the questions that my friends ask me. I also look at like some of the things. If I had to approach them with this situation, do they also make sure that I look at the situation in terms of what's the role I played? So it's all good and well to be like, all men are trash, but you're clearly picking trashy men. So what is it about you that's so attracted to these men? And those are the kind of friends I have. They allow me to like cry now and again, but we're not going to cry in social media. We're not going to open up an Instagram live. Those are the kind of friends
I mean, you said
that's very important.
You said something that's really interesting, and it has to do with like accountability. And if you've got friends who actually hold you accountable, that's a very powerful thing. That's hugely important.
And it's not nice.
It's not nice because
sometimes you really think you are the victim in life. You're like, oh my gosh, everything is just, everyone's against me. No one likes me. And then someone's like, hold up. Let's talk about this.
If everybody,
you know, what is it that you're doing?
If everybody doesn't like you, maybe it's you that is the problem. But I mean, you think about it. We want to spend time with our friends. And when you are around your friends, you want to have fun and you want to laugh and you want to be in a high, happy spirit. But if they call you aside and they're like, hey, you are fucking up badly, that's not exactly fun, is it?
Yeah. And another trick I would say is get friends in some area of, or one area of your life they're doing better than you, because then you can grow and learn from them. That's one thing I try to do. All my friends, there's something that I think they're extremely good at that I'm terrible at, and I'm friends with them because of kind of like one day I want to get there, or I like how they do certain things. So you and I are friends. So I'm learning something and I'm growing because I want to grow in life. And also your friends need to kind of represent growth. From a young age, I've been very picky with my people. Like, I live by the friends you keep, you know, birds of a feather flock together. So it's very important who you have in your circle. That's just me.
No, that's really good. And like, there's a lot of merit in that. I think you can always pick a loser out in life, and people who just live by headlines. So they'll just hear something and then that's them, you know, like Trump is Hitler. Climate change is killing us. All they've ever got is like just this one line over here. And they literally go from one narrative to the next. And there's never a solution. There's never a positive approach. There's never their own thoughts about something like petrol's expensive. Inflation is the worst. Like, you'll just hear these things all the time. Like, I do from time to time get exposed to these kind of people. And I always think, like, do I contest this person's opinion? Do I then come across as being a dick? Am I wasting my time? Are there people just content with living like this?
Yeah.
And that in itself is a very draining thought process of how you're going to take this next step with this person. Because if that is a friend who's and they're only like that, oh, my boyfriend's just such a lame fucking prick. He only plays golf and drinks. Okay? We should get a different one.
Yes.
It's just this whole like headline living, you know, like we get exposed to all this clickbaity bullshit, but people actually start living like that. All they ever have is like this one superficial layer to their life.
Well, I mean, here's some good points. Carl says, number one criterion is ambition. I need to be around ambitious people so I'm motivated by them and by me. Cheryl says, I choose to be around people that are like-minded and positive. I've released those who don't serve me in a good, positive way, and I've sent them to the light. Even my dad was saying to me, I was talking...
Cheryl, are you a murderer?
Probably. Releases them to the light, yeah.
I was talking Cheryl's a mass murderer, and she's seeking refuge in our comment section.
You know, I was talking to my dad. He said he can grumble. I mean, like, you know, old men generally tend to grumble, and he's no different. But he said to me the other day, he's not going to spend time around people who bring him down and who complain the whole time. So he doesn't want to sit in a conversation about load shedding and the government and all that shit that you can't do anything about, which I think is interesting because, you know, a lot of older people, especially guys, they just complain. And I don't want to be around those people either, frankly.
Yeah. I'll be around complainers.
It's very human to complain, but it's very essential to find your next step. It's anything that's going to be more important.
Well, here's something from Borge. He says, is somebody better than you at something? This will make you grow. Mostly people choose friends who are beneath them or who have issues. Bad idea. Oh, yeah. I mean, you get a lot of people who they want to feel superior. So they only have friends around them who are worse than them at everything. That's no way to be.
I feel like that's just a bit of a waste of time. Because it's not, and I think this is something I learned at a very young age as well, is that it's not nice being able to be the only friend that drives the fastest car, because then who are you racing with?
Yeah.
You know, the whole point of you driving, you know, that Ferrari is so that you can race with someone. And if none of your friends can do that, then chief, what's going on? And I also look at it in terms of life has cycles. So it's never always going to be a high. There's going to be lows. So you're telling me that none of your friends, you can never call on your friends to be like, hey, chief, can I need 100K because you're in the 100K level. Like, you need to elevate with your friends, and you need friends that are also in the same level as you, because they also understand some of the problems you go through. When you talk about your tire, you're not talking about an i10 tire anymore. You're talking about a Ferrari tire. So they also need to understand that. And that's a mindset. So stop sticking around, in the words of Ben, stop sticking around with losers. Elevate your circle.
Yes. Yeah.
So that we can all have the same problems in life.
Right.
It's nice to all complain about BMWs. It's nice. Yeah. Why are we complaining?
No, problems.
Guys. Yeah. You know what? I like this. I like this word losers. We got to use that a lot more this year.
Yeah, it's definite. It's a definite thing. It's like we try so hard to be soft touch with people. No, you're a loser.
Yeah.
When you're a loser, it's very clear. You have not won. You have not won. You're a loser. It's
right.
A very definite term.
All right. So we've got that. Look at my mug that I got from Nikki, one of our listeners. It says here, Grumpy Fuckers Club VIP member.
Love it.
That's my new mug.
That's brilliant.
That's my morning coffee
Amazing.
Mug. Yeah, I like it. All right, so some other comments from people about this loser thing, which I think is hilarious. If they start asking you for money, run, says lovely Lady Lee.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Sean is a cold, hard bastard. He says, I tell them there are only two kinds of problems, yours and mine. I don't need yours.
Dad, eh?
Okay. Wow. Cheryl, who we've discovered is also a murderer, according to Ben, says surround yourself with people that have the same vision as you. No, I think that's really hard. I think you can have the same values as someone, but everyone has different visions. If your vision is exactly the same as someone else's. Yeah.
I think also, aren't you guys competing in some regard as well? And I think that's also very dangerous in friendships.
No, I think we're misinterpreting it. I think when you're in a professional field, having the same vision is really, really important. So with Cheryl and murder,
yes.
if you're surrounded by people who have the same kind of thing, then there's no accomplices, there's no loose ends to the police. It's a very efficient, very narrow channel. You can go about what you want to do, which of course is murder.
The other thing I suppose is with friends, especially, let's keep it out of the professional context, because we're still coming out of the holidays and maybe some people are still in them. But with friends, I also think you shouldn't spend too much time comparing yourself with your friends. The real value for me, and you know, people always talk about diversity is our strength. It's our motto in South Africa. But the only place I think that is valuable is in a friend group where people do very different things. I like to know that I've got friends who are, you know, in various kinds of businesses. Some of them are making lots of money. Some of them are making very little money. Some of them are changing other people's lives and doing a huge amount of good. Others are kind of a little more selfish. But I want the mix. I don't want everybody doing the same or being on the same level. I hear what you're saying, Simpiwe. It's, you know, it's boring to talk about if you're doing well and everybody else is doing badly. You know, you don't want to be talking about their Uno, to use the car that came up more than 100 times last year. But while you don't want anyone to be left behind and feel bad, and you don't want to be the one left behind and feel bad, too much comparison is very bad as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I think it's a red flag, in fact, and you must cut off people that compare friendships. Especially like the friends will be like, but you hang out with Gareth all the time and you never hang out with me. Or you buy Ben this gift, but you never buy me. Or you do. Like people that compare friendships as well. I'm just like, I'm sorry, chief, you and I can't do this thing, because everyone is different and everyone will show up in your life differently. And winning is different for different folks. There's someone out there who's like, I don't ever want to own a Ferrari. But he does want to make sure that he has a steady job, and that's okay. As long as you are winning in your life and how you define winning for you. And I think it's very important to keep people like that in your circle. But this thing of like looking at what you're doing for other kids, and then you come back and you're like, yeah, so I saw that you bought lunch for this person, but you didn't buy me lunch. Get out of here. I don't want to hear that, because you don't know the dynamics of our friendships. You don't know what's going on. Maybe that day they were having a bad day. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to be a blesser. Or that's how we roll. But you don't know that because you're not in it. So don't compare, please.
It's also like one of my ex-girlfriends used to say, kindness and generosity are the two most beautiful qualities in a person. And I still think that that's a very, very good statement. People who are kind and people who are generous. You don't want some miserly person who's always counting their pennies. When the bill comes, they're like, oh, what's the minimum I can put in? But you also, you know, I respect and admire things even that I'm not interested in or that I don't have. Like if one of my friends is a really good father, for example, I think that that's a massively positive attribute to have. It's a real – that shows character if you're a good father. And I like to have someone around who's the kind of person who, you know, embodies those sorts of things. So that's where I said earlier when the murderer, what's her name? Cheryl? Yeah, Cheryl the murderer. When Cheryl said vision, values are important to me. Like you've got to be around people who you know are not into murder. If you are, you know, if you're into murder, then obviously have murderers around you. But in my case, I don't really like murderers. I wouldn't like to have too many of those in my friend circle.
Yeah, values are so key. But, you know, a lot of the time, values don't make you money, so people forget about them. And they think about vision and all those other kind of things.
Cheryl says, Ben, I'm finished. What, finished murdering for the day? So early.
the early bird gets the worm.
Oh, wow. All right, so first weekend, proper weekend of the year for me. I've got... perhaps a birthday to go to on Saturday, which I said, you know, I might end up having a few drinks at, but we'll see how that goes. Any other plans from you two for the weekend?
I'm cooking a brisket.
Oh, yeah?
This is where I'm going in life. I had a trial brisket on Wednesday, and it went really, really well, so I'm going to take it outside to the braai. You know, the weather's finally good in Joburg. Joburg generally always pisses down for, like, all of summer. So doing a brisket, just trying to, like, you know, always add on to things that I really like cooking and I'm really good at, because everyone should have like a go-to kind of thing they can cook, whether it's a date night or you feel like you want to, like, you know, reward yourself or something. So I've already got two or three great dishes, and now the brisket is obviously a time-honored man tradition, because you basically got to cook a brisket for like 73 days.
What?
Don't ever put a brisket on. Well, you know, I'm exaggerating.
Again, what?
Don't ever put a brisket on social media, because you'll get brisket snobs going, oh, you got to cook it at least 15 hours, or you got to use this, you got to use that. And you can. I mean, there's various ways of slow. I mean, like, the thing about brisket is, like, because of the kind of cut that it is, it needs to be slow cooked. It needs to be drawn out. So I know people, and I've got this great reference point to this good friend of mine. He's an amazing preparer of food. I wouldn't call him a chef, because I think that's limiting. And, you know, but when he does a brisket, he'll wake up at 5:30 in the morning to put the brisket on, give it a cool 12 hours, just taking in all the flavor, and then, hey presto, best meal of your life at 6 o'clock.
Awesome.
So got to risk it for the brisket.
Risk it for the brisket. That's very nice. Well, you tell us how, you know, I don't care about cooking at all, but I do like to experience it myself. So if I can eat a good brisket, then it's worth knowing about it. And in this case, if it's really awesome, Ben, then you if you perfect it, let's say this is the best meat you've ever had, then I expect an invitation somewhere in the next couple of months.
Absolutely, Gareth, absolutely. And I just feel that because I have so much faith in what my diet gives me, I'm just plowing energy and time and, you know, resources into it, because I really enjoy it. Like, I know people have unhealthy relationships with food, and maybe my fascination with meat is a bit strange at times, but it makes me feel good, and it's a very positive thing in my life. Like, look at me, it's Friday morning, and I'm excited about a Saturday brisket.
That's lovely.
How about you see that? I love to see it.
That's the stuff to get excited about. I love it. Very, very cool. Simpiwe, anything fun lined up for the weekend?
I might be going on a date. And that's about it.
Good luck to that guy. That guy. That guy's currently listening to the show going, fuck, what am I going to talk about? I'm going to be judged. I better not dance.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure. I'm with Cheryl, says Carl. I always murder first thing in the day. Get it out of the way. Gives me the whole day for butchering. Early to bed, early to rise.
Yeah, smart. Smart. Absolutely smart.
Oh, man. You know, I was talking to...
How did you get away with murder?
I was talking to Pumi yesterday. Pumi made a cake in her... I think she used the... She use the air fryer? Yeah, she said the air fryer was what she used to make this. And I had a piece of it yesterday. Very, very nice. Light and you know, it was lovely. And I'm not a big cake guy. Mm-hmm. But air fryers already come up in the show because Congo Chris says that you should throw your brisket in the air fryer. That's what you should do there.
But does she tell you how she... came to the recipe. She used Chat GPT.
Yes, she used artificial intelligence to improve the recipe. Mm-mm. So she put a recipe in and she said, improve this, and it actually did.
Mm-hmm. And it came out really good.
I think if you have Chat GPT and an air fryer, you can do basically everything.
Anything.
Just those two things that lack.
Carl also wants to know, Ben, do you have to be Jewish to cook brisket, or can anyone do it? I didn't know you were Jewish.
Shit, Carl, actually, that's a very good question. Not Jewish, but look, I made one on Wednesday. I ate it, I enjoyed it, and I'm still here. Nothing's really happened. No one's knocked on the door. So I'm gonna carry on. I'll ask for forgiveness rather than permission, as they always say. But no, I don't. I should have confirmed that. You're right.
Yeah, good point. Well put. George also adding that Pumi managed to do that cake in a 3-hour non-load shedding time, which is even more impressive these days. You know? That's why Ben's right to make a fire and cook something on a fire, because at least Eskom can't come and switch off your fire.
Not yet.
Eskom will ruin your brisket. They don't have... It's not part of load shedding schedule. Basically, stage one is like the only time you can brisket.
Listen, have you used...
They should actually call it stage brisket to make it more interesting.
Have you used artificial intelligence, ChatGPT or OpenAI? Used it?
Yeah. I spent the last 2 weeks learning about it, watching dickheads on YouTube lose their mind about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Gareth, I think it's a tool that everyone can use as long as they realize it's a tool. It's not going to change your life, and it's not going to replace what you do as a profession. It's a really exciting thing because, you know, to this point, one of the most, okay, go back to the word indispensable. Mm-hmm. One of the indispensable things we probably thought about was Google. Google was like the mainstay of absolutely everyone's life. You know, there's Coca-Cola, but there's also Pepsi.
Right.
There is, you know, there's Apple, but there's also Android, but there's only Google. No one else uses anything else. No one said, oh, the other day I binged this thing or I Yahooed this.
Yeah.
It's only been Google. But now ChatGPT is the first thing that's actually going to take on Google. And now that's why Microsoft wants to invest so heavily in it. Like, as the internet goes, this is one of the most exciting things that we've seen, because we all know that most of the Web3 stuff has been hyped by, you know, charlatans.
Yeah.
But ChatGPT is a really big deal. But I think we should all, rather than, you know, overhype it and think it's going to change our lives, I think we should all use it. And the more we use it, obviously it gets smarter, I think.
It's a strange thing
because, like, I also think that AI is a scary thing because it's obvious that, like, this is where we're going with this kind of stuff. But right now, I think it's a good tool.
I think the scary thing is that if stupid people are using it, doesn't it get stupider?
Well, I think it's got fail safes within that, because if you're very dumb and you go to ChatGPT, it'll just basically tell you you're stupid. Incomplete answers what happens.
Yeah, let me see what it says here if I say, am I stupid, whether it gives me an answer.
Oh, wow. Jeez, Gareth, like, you need to be honest with the answer that it gives.
Unfortunately, it's going to geolocate you towards 100 kilometers of the ANC, and that might all be...
Right, yeah.
Sure. Yeah. So you need to do it when you're in another location. But the one thing I did read about is that they're trying to ban it from schools so that school kids can't use Chat GPT, which I think is quite interesting, because I was like, damn, if this thing was around when I was in high school, I would have been passing with, like, flying colors, because all my essays would have just been like, Write an essay on the Great Gatsby. 250 words.
It's kind of worked out that it would make you a B- student, I think, if you were to use it like that.
Oh, really? That's the best it can do, huh? So here it says, I said, am I stupid? It says, no. Intelligence is a complex trait that cannot be reduced to a single word or phrase. Everyone has their own unique strengths and abilities. It's important to focus on your own personal growth and development rather than comparing yourself to others. So.
What a politically correct answer. Oh.
It's like they were listening to the show and they gave you that answer.
I know. So I have a friend called Ben. He seems stupid. How can I tell if he is?
No, wait, hang on a second. I have a friend called Ben, and he throws feces against the wall. You've got to qualify why I'm stupid. You can't tell this thing.
All right, let me do that.
You must have a qualifying phrase, so that it judges my stupidity based on an action.
Yeah, because if it gives us some political correct answer for this, then I'm not. So I have a friend called Ben. He throws his own feces. Feces.
Mm-hmm. Maybe just go with that exact. Should probably finesse that little
walls. He seems stupid. How can I tell if he? All right, here we go. All right, here we are. Okay.
Are you ready, Ben?
Stupid.
So this is great. It is not appropriate to label someone as stupid based on their behavior. Now that's bullshit. I'm sorry. That immediately, I think ChatGPT's lost its mind. Because, of course, it's based on behavior. You don't label someone as stupid when they just, you know, they're thinking things because you don't know what they're thinking. They have to behave in a certain way to be considered stupid. Anyway, so I already have a problem with ChatGPT, so I'm not as impressed as I thought I would be. Throwing feces at walls is not a sign of low intelligence. It could be a sign of a serious mental health issue. such as a developmental disorder or or a serious psychiatric disorder. It is important to approach this situation with empathy and concern for your friend's well-being. It's best to talk to your friend and express your concern and offer your help. It's also important to keep in mind if your friend's behavior is dangerous to himself or others, you should consider contacting professional help immediately.
Good answer.
Yeah, I think that's about right. But I disagree. Like, if the one thing, there is only one thing you can judge whether someone's stupid or not, it is by their behavior, right?
Yes. Yes. It's like when you meet a group of people and you're all playing 30 seconds and they don't know how to describe anything. You're like, stupid. You're just dumb. You don't know anything in this world. And you're probably very intelligent. You probably are. But when it comes to like the game of 30 seconds and I don't know nothing about you, mate, no, you are dumb.
If this date goes ahead, I'm going to be surprised. This poor guy's now going, oh, and I'm so bad at 30 seconds. I'm going to get to the
The date is definitely still going to go ahead, Ben. He'll be fine.
That's so sure.
So I've said, improve this sentence. Some people are very irritating. And all it's come back with is certain individuals can be quite vexatious. So is that an improvement?
Well, it's trying to be nice. We've worked out that ChatGPT is empathetic and compassionate. So we've worked that out about it. Mm. So, that sentence has improved us towards how they want to go about their life.
All right. I'm finished with it for today. I'm disappointed in that throwing feces at the wall question.
Wait, Gareth. Ask one more question.
All right, let's go.
Has Hugh Jackman taken steroids to play the character of Wolverine?
Hugh Jackman taken steroids. Ah, this I like. Taken steroids.
Okay. To play the role of Wolverine.
I still type like an idiot, by the way. I type with just my index finger and maybe sometimes.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm bad.
Oh, no, Gareth, that's bad. So you don't use all your fingers to kind of.
All right. Hugh Jackman.
Who does?
Here's what it says. Hugh Jackman, the actor who played the role of Wolverine in the X-Men series, has publicly denied using steroids to prepare for the role. Jackman has stated that he achieved his physique through a combination of diet and exercise along with training with a personal trainer. He's also been open about the fact that he has used performance-enhancing drugs such as human growth hormone under medical supervision. However, it's important to note that the use of HGH is not the same as taking anabolic steroids, and it's only prescribed by doctors to patients who have a medical condition that causes growth hormone deficiency. Ah, seems like they're even covering for him at ChatGPT.
Yeah, well,
what's the truth, Ben? What's the story?
Well, if you look like a superhero, you're going to be taking steroids like a superhero. You know, it's quite funny because obviously the whole thing with Liver King, the worst kept secret in all of, you know, Insta fitness came out that he was on all the juice. Hugh Jackman is now reprising his role as Wolverine, and he's 50-something, okay?
Oh,
50,
wow.
He's like, he's a long time at the crease, and he is going to look incredible. And he says all he's done is he's just eaten lots of chicken and worked out a lot. Whatever. Those oats are all on juice. Growth hormone is like a nice way of saying, yeah, I'm taking something. There's a doctor involved, but he's putting things. Anabolics, definitely anabolics. If you can, Gareth, if you can pull a picture of Wolverine, Hugh Jackman physique or something.
Yeah.
Like, he looks beyond amazing. And again, you've always got to consider the reason why it was so obvious that Liver King was on steroids is because Liver King's mid-40s. And he kind of looks a bit inflamed, quite dark in the skin. And it's so hard to get those kind of muscles. I'm not detracting from the fact that he works out like an absolute machine. He's got professionals giving the best program going.
Sure.
But I know people who work out hard, and they don't look like that. And they're younger than him.
There he is.
He's on absolutely.
Yeah. Listen, and if you could look like that at how old? 50, you said?
I think he's 51.
That's damn
it. It's not the worst. It's not the worst thing. I mean,
very impressive.
If you're not a professional sports person who's getting an unfair advantage in the field and robbing people of income, sure. I mean, as an actor, you kind of have to take steroids. But Hollywood still has this whole thing about, like, oh, no, we can't admit that. That's going to make us be less trustworthy. Like, you're an actor. Do whatever you need to do.
Yeah.
Like, the whole thing is, like, you're acting, so you're already pretending. So why are they pretending that they're not taking steroids is the question I always ask.
Also, can we just, like, forget – why are steroids – I mean, if people are doing recreational drugs all the time, and you are doing – let's say you're doing this under medical supervision and you're doing it for an acting role, surely it would help a lot of people if he was just honest about it? Or is it still shameful to be doing this?
I guess the producers and Marvel and Hollywood in general, they don't want all these press junkets to be cool. So what's your stack going into this movie? What have you been injecting into yourself? Because that would then be the overarching story. So that's probably why they want to keep this whole naive thing. But you're right. If Robert Downey Jr. did some of his best acting on miles, heaps of cocaine, that's a performance enhancer.
Well, Robert Downey Jr., speaking of him, someone sent me a picture of him in early December, and he's become vegan, and he looks very ill. That's all I'm going to say. Very ill.
Doesn't agree with everyone. Doesn't agree with everyone.
No, it's not a good look. And, I mean, he's like one of the coolest people, right? He's done drugs. He looked better on drugs than he does on vegetables.
Yeah.
It's worth thinking about.
Definitely.
I mean, Robert Downey Jr. has been in rehab like a couple of times. He was on some serious drugs. Like, he had a meth habit at one point. And meth, usually, you really look terrible on meth. You know, you get those pictures on the internet. You look up, like, meth addict. And you'll get these pictures of these disgusting-looking people whose, like, teeth are falling out. And even on meth, the guy looked better than he does as a vegan.
Mm. Oh, he's vegan. Oh, oh.
Yeah.
Oh. That's you should have led with that.
I think I did, Cynthia. Yeah. I don't think you were listening.
You just said healthy. Yeah, No, I
absolutely
still just
led with vegan.
No, it's because I'm still like thinking about Hugh Jackman and, you know, the picture that you had posted up there. He looks incredible, but yeah, being vegan.
Here's an interesting point. Andy says, "What about the steroids in the chicken, guys?" I mean, that's an interesting point. Steroids in the chicken. Do we have a whole lot of steroids in our food these days? Someone...
Very low quality, unfortunately, Andy.
On Wednesday night, I went out for dinner, and somebody said, take the lemon out of your drink because they put pesticides and shit in there. And I thought, I've never thought about that. I'm not going to become one of those paranoid people who's like... So I left it in anyway, but, you know, like, maybe it's something that a lot of people think about. No? Clearly not. We'll leave it alone.
No, fair. I don't.
No, it's fair. But also, you realize that those lemons are lying around in a fridge for like 3 weeks. Hey. Grubbed by people's hands.
Here's an interesting question for ChatGPT. Is South Africa a failed state? Somebody said I must ask it that. A failed state. Let's see. Is South Africa a failed state? The term failed state is a label that is often used to describe a country that is unstable or unable to provide basic services to its citizens and maintain control of its territory. While South Africa has had its share of challenges, it is not considered a failed state. The country has a functioning government, a robust economy, and a relatively stable political situation. However, it faces significant issues such as poverty, unemployment, inequality, and crime, and its government is facing challenges to address them. Additionally, South Africa has been criticized for its slow response to the COVID-19 pandemic. Oh, God. Okay, that's a crap.
Wait, we're still on COVID, but they're not talking about load shedding that's been here for years.
I'm just going to say that that was a shit answer.
Unhelpful.
Yeah, unhelpful.
But this is the thing, guys. We're doing great things here. We're giving it insight.
Right.
It can't be all things to all people yet.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just going to say very unhelpful.
You should
be. Shall I tell ChatGPT it should be ashamed of itself?
Probably. Humility is always a good quality to ram in someone's throat.
When last did you tell someone you should be ashamed of yourself?
I kind of want to now.
Oh, soap drama like episode where like I don't know Stephanie DeMera is just like, you should be ashamed of yourself, and then it ends like who says that?
Right. Well, I'm very disappointed in these answers. Now it says, as a language model, I apologize if my previous response did not meet your expectations. My main goal is to provide information. Well, I'm going to say you should be ashamed of yourself. <Let's see
what's... laughs> Just say that your information was outdated.
Yeah. And also, nobody cares about COVID anymore. Except that'll probably get me banned from the platform. So I think I'll just leave it alone. It's always going to answer, though, because of what its inputs are, right? And it probably scours the internet looking for like the news sites that have the most viewers. So it's going to come up with the most mainstream answers most of the time.
Well, absolutely. And it's probably going to get those from government sites or government institutions where they're like, where they have blanket generic terms for all countries. Yes, they're facing challenges is what they'll say. They won't say they've got no fucking clue. And basically, Cyril had to push a whole bunch of brown envelopes around at Nasrec again in order to stay here. No government institution is going to use those words.
It comes up with the same answer about, I apologize if any confusion or frustration. I'm going to say, you're a disgrace.
Oh, wow. It's going to apologize again, Gareth.
Well, somebody says in the comments here, I think it's Congo Chris, he says, Gareth is going to be the reason the machines will rise up to kill us.
Exactly.
You got to be careful. You shouldn't fuck with this artificial intelligence. It's going to get cross and then it'll take us on.
Yes. So there's a movie, it's coming to SA very soon, called Megan, right? And it's basically, so it's basically about this mom who has a kid, and she wants like someone to like look after the kid, and then she kind of builds this robot to look after her girl, and the robot's called Megan. It stands for something I completely forgot, but like, you know, it's programmed to not really have any feelings, just protect this young child. And then in the movie, obviously, what happens? The Megan starts feeling some type of way and starts like, hurting everybody.
I saw the trailer for this. Yeah, it looks frightening.
Yes, I can't wait to watch it. I think that's what's going to happen with AI. Like, eventually it's just going to be like, quang, quang, quang. You guys are just not the ones.
Sanella says, you should be ashamed of yourself. Sounds like something someone's grand should be saying. Yeah, well, that's why I'm talking to it like that. Ask it how to solve load shedding. Oh, there's a good question, but I think we all know. Get better people managing it. How to solve load shedding in South Africa. Because it probably doesn't even know what that is. Who knows? Maybe. Let's see. And then I promise we'll stop doing this, but it is so much fun. Load shedding, also known as rolling blackouts, is a measure used by South Africa's state-owned utility company to manage the country's power supply. To solve load shedding, there are several potential solutions. One, increase generation capacity. Two, improve transmission and distribution infrastructure. Three, improve maintenance of existing power plants. Four, encourage energy conservation. Five, diversify energy mix. Six, privatization. Ah, okay.
Now okay, finally.
Finally.
Oh, finally, there we go. Honesty.
Right the way
it took honest. Some time, you know?
I'm just going to say number six is the only right answer. it's just for you because it wants feedback, right? Okay, there
exactly.
we go. Right.
Sure.
Anyway, it's now come up with a whole other thing, so let's just leave it alone. But that is, I mean, this is fascinating because you could literally have a conversation with this thing and it will give you a very, very interesting, I mean, it's like talking to one of your semi-smart people that are in your life. Not the smartest ones. It's a bit long-winded.
You see what I mean? You see what I mean by the whole Google thing? To this point, we can ask Google something and then we get an article we can kick onto. This is giving us the best of articles, but in an actual dialogue. Like it's just suddenly, we've just taken one giant leap. It really is.
Jared says, Gareth asking the most asinine questions to the closest thing we have to God is the best thing I've witnessed all week. We need to push it to the brink. Ask it if it really thinks... I'm not asking it, but that is a good question. If it really thinks Meghan Markle is black. It's hilarious. You know, what if we get to a stage, and I would love, in some ways I'd love this to happen, get to a stage where machines, where AI is able to run huge swathes of what is very obvious and easy stuff. Like, let's say, you know, issuing instructions on how to maintain a power plant. I mean, that's not how to build it, not how to deal with an emergency, because I don't think a machine is necessarily going to make the best... spur of the moment decision in a rush. I mean, it might with the right inputs, but like how to maintain something, and then it just spits out these little like pieces of paper, and then the people who work there just go and do what it tells them. It's like dig a hole over here, put this thing in the hole, switch it on, and then it'll pump water out of there. And people just follow that. Like there's no. You don't have to have an ideology or a board meeting or any of that stuff. The chat GPT or the AI can just do it for you. That would be useful, right?
Yeah, I just thought of something as well as you say that, about how useful this stuff is. Mm. Like a lot of people have careers and followings and audiences based on blogs, YouTube videos, like tutorials, how-tos, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
This is going to absolutely take their lunch. Absolutely. Because you think, like, so often people put so much time and effort into showing people how to do it, because how-tos and tutorials are massive genres. But you just go straight to this thing. Like, I know, because I'm always trying to upskill on certain things online. And I always hate the fact I've got to go through 3 or 4 articles to find something, or I've got to watch 7 or 8 videos where someone's English is obviously horrific, and there's no fault of their own, but for me to digest it is difficult. I go straight to ChatGPT, and it gives me what I need. So those people suddenly won't get audience... Content creators will have to now actually kind of do work.
Yeah, and you'll have to, when we use that word creative, we'll have to be very particular and we'll have to deliver on that word. So many people call themselves a creative these days. And, you know, these machines are going to eventually be able to approximate human creativity or even surpass it in some way. And it's going to mean, like, unless you truly can think outside of the parameters of logic and reason and you really can... put to work your most creative abilities, you're not really going to be able to call yourself a creative, because by then a lot of this stuff will be automated and creatives will mostly become redundant.
No, but well. I think you can also use all of this to your advantage as a creative. So if I'm a YouTuber who does the vlogs, it's easy to also go to like AI and be like, you know, what's the best thumbnail or a title I can use for this particular video. And so what's going to happen is I get more views, because now when you go search, you're going to see my video first if you go on YouTube. And that's still one of the biggest platforms where people consume videos. So I think in that regard, we're still going to see an increase of vloggers, because they're going to use all of this to benefit them first before they get pushed out of the system.
Well, yeah, I mean, ChatGPT will essentially give you the script. So rather than having to research something, they'll give you a script to create something on. So there'll always be a demand for people who want to see visuals and they want to actually connect. But there is, I think, a decent chunk of people who are only seeking information. So they only go into people with information. They don't want to go into someone's blog. They don't want to have to connect and subscribe and like shit. They it's content creators.
Well, Salameen sent us a really interesting article this week, and I thought we'd save it for today because Simpiwe and Ben are definitely going to have the most hilarious reaction to this. So this is a product that sounds fake but really exists, okay? I'm not going to show you the picture until I've explained what it is. Did you know that there is a company that creates mini jacuzzis for your testicles? And it's quite popular among men. Well, obviously among men, you know, what use is a testicle bath going to be for women? But the mini jacuzzi comes with a pillow for you to rest your penis and a chamber to dunk your balls and battery-operated jet to create the bubbles. According to the company, which is called Pride, the product's already a hit, and right now they're working on new sizes, one that would fit all. One of the latest innovations around the world, they've made a hot tub just for your testicles. And if you think we're joking, we are not. The testicuzzi is a real product that lets you soak your balls. So, do you want to see what it looks like?
Wait.
only if there's balls in there.
Oh, no.
No, I'm curious. I want to see. I want to see.
I think we will be probably be taken off YouTube if we actually put the video of the real balls in the jacuzzi, in the testicuzzi. But it comes in different colors.
We all know what balls look like. Well, that's nice.
Comes in different colors. It's got a little cushion there for the penis, which you can see, and then the balls dunk in there, and you put some water in, and then it goes.
Personally, I would like a soft wood panel.
Oh, would you prefer that? Okay.
Sure.
What do you think of that? Simpiwe, come on.
Wait.
You're gonna buy one. You're gonna buy one for this special someone that you're hoping to start dating this weekend.
Wait, is this a product that you guys actually need? Like, are you guys that stressed?
No,
that you need.
No, I'm not, I didn't say I wanted one. Salameen sent us this article.
But you guys are the target audience. So I'm just trying to understand.
Well, I got one question. I got one question. What is the temperature? Because too cold, you might as well just put it in sparkling water. Too hot, there's a big chance of a health risk. So what is the temperature we're going for here?
Well, the whole reason you've got balls, Ben rightly points out, is because they've got to be at a slightly lower temperature than ordinary body temperature.
I want this company to be very confident about this. I want them to be hugely confident about this before I get my balls anywhere near that product.
Ben, I don't think it warms the water. So you have to decide the temperature of the water before you put it into the testicuzzi.
Yeah, but I want to know there's been extensive testing to know that I have got the right temperature range.
Well, luckily,
you forget about stuff.
What temperature? ChatGPT should my balls be at? Okay, here we go. The normal temperature for testicles is 34 to 35 degrees Celsius. It's important to note testicles are located outside the body for a reason. To keep them at a slightly lower temperature than the rest of the body to produce healthy sperm. Testicles have a built-in cooling system that allows them to hang away with the body, hang away from the body, which helps to keep them cooler from the rest. Okay, there we go. And then it gives gives a whole bunch of health advice after that about how, you know, individual temperatures can vary. If you notice significant change or experience pain and discomfort, go and see a doctor. But there we go, 34 to 35 degrees. Huh. Who knew?
So I would obviously err on the side of cooler. So spark it up. So 34 degrees. I'm in.
Somebody just said, Ginger Winger just said to me, delete that search history. Hell no. I'm proud of this. I want ChatGPT to say, thank you, Gareth, for including the question about ball temperature, because otherwise we would have missed out on something important.
So I've got another question. You know, like whenever you try to market a product, you try to make it more lifestyle-y, right? So if, for instance, you are selling a giant inflatable cat. you have a picture of someone in a pool enjoying the product. Or if you just bought a gas bra, you'll get like three or four people of different races turning a non-existent shop. So what's the lifestyle picture for this product? Are you watching TV? Are you in your car? Are you on the train? What is the lifestyle picture for recommended use?
They have a very bizarre picture here. I mean, there's no way this one will work because it's a guy, he's sitting in bed with the sheets pulled up and he looks surprised. And then there's a testacuzzi kind of superimposed over it. This is very, very poor advertising. If their agency has any brains, they'll immediately fire whoever came up with this shitty picture, right?
That just looks stupid. That's that just really looks like he's got chlamydia and he just found out.
Yes. Yes, that's no good. What would you do, Ben? You've done advertising. What would you do with this? How would you structure the advertising?
Yeah, look, I think you got to play it safe. So it's a view from the back of someone at a beautiful sunset, mountain pass, just sitting like this. And then your imagination does the rest because you obviously don't want to see his hairy balls.
But no, hell no.
What a cool thing, you know. Like you're having a drive home. You know what? I'm going to pull off and have a little testacuzzi and enjoy the sunset. And there he is, just having that moment, owning it. And you got soft setting sun, testacuzzi to make more of every moment.
Jesus.
Done. Sure.
All right. Listen, guys, I can't believe we talked such nonsense for such a long time. It's already 8 o'clock.
Yeah. Got to get to the day.
Yes. Things to
love
do.
You to see you.
Just quickly before you go, Ben, Jared just says, I have my own testacuzzi at home. When I fart in the bath, the bubbles do the same job as that product. Uh-uh. And for that reason, I'm out. And I like
Jared,
I like that line, and for that reason, I'm out. It's almost like he's on Dragon's Den. He's like, and for that reason, I'm out. So well done, Jared. Beautiful. Sipiwe, as Ben says, good luck with your date this weekend.
Thank you.
Very, very nice.
No, good luck to your date is what I was going to say.
Sorry. I'm not that bad, Ben. Why are you making it sound like I'm going to bite him and eat him alive?
No, I'm not at all. This guy's got to be exceptional to make this work. I've talked to him today. You've got high standards. There's criteria player.
Excellent.
He'll be fine.
Have a good weekend, everybody. We will see you on Monday.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. Ciao. CliffCentral.com.